Okay, thank you for listening. I am DJ Cyclomath, and we have reached the top of the second hour, and we have the promised panel discussion about EVE Online and stealth bombers specifically. Just for those of you in the audience who don't play EVE or are maybe a little bit out of practice or have considered playing it but don't know about it, EVE Online is a science fiction space-based MMO where you play the role of a starship pilot, and there isn't actually any experience in the game except flying a ship. So you can think of it as sort of like a first-person ship flying simulator in a massively multiplayer online environment. It's also considered to be one of the more hardcore MMOs out there, with a high death penalty, and a lot of people love it and a lot of people hate it. But one of the things that is a big draw to it is how much flexibility the ships in the game have, and the ships can be fitted in many, many, many different ways. Although what you tend to find is that there's two classes, good ones and bad ones. There's really not a whole lot of middle ground on EVE fitting. And the complexity that gets into fitting EVE ships can really be a major stumbling block to people trying to get into the game or trying to improve how they play it. EVE ships have three types of slots where you can throw different types of modules. And we're not going to go too deep into it or anything, but just real briefly, there are what are called low slots, middle slots, and high slots. And each of those serves a different function. The low slots tend to be about how your armor and your structure is reinforced. The middle slots tend to be things like your electronic warfare modules and your shield modules. And your high slots are things like your weapons. One of the more complicated ship types to fly in EVE Online is called the stealth bomber, because it can utilize both the covert ops cloak, which makes it impossible to detect when the cloak is running, and it can use the bomb launcher, which can allow it to do massive AoE damage in one shot. Of course, it comes with some drawbacks as well, and it's difficult to fit properly. So I got a couple of guys from my corporation, Alexey Card and Halen Turek, to agree to come on and talk about stealth bombers and how to fit them. And so we're going to bring them on here in just a second. And we're going to go over some of the ins and outs of stealth bombers. And if we've got time, there might be some EVE news to talk about later, too. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and bring them on here. So, Halen and Alec, how are you doing, guys?
I'm doing well.
That's Halen.
This is Alec. I'm doing just fine. Thank you, Jimmer.
Cool. All right. So I've got some notes here we actually prepared for this segment. So the first thing is about stealth bombers. There's often a debate between whether or not you're going to go with electronic warfare or tanks. So just a real quick aside, tank in EVE Online refers to your ability to offset damage, not like your World of Warcraft type tank where it's somebody who's intended to soak damage. The tank just refers to how well you can withstand incoming damage. So with that, guys, what do you guys think? We'll start with Halen. E-War versus tank. And Alec, go ahead and jump in whenever you feel like it.
Well, in a way, I like to look at, if you guys play World of Warcraft or almost any other RPG, stealth bomber takes the role of the rogue or the thief. It can be very stealthy and it can do a lot of burst damage. And in my mind, part of that requires you to use its mid slots for E-War. That being, in this order, a target painter, a sensor dampener, and a tracking disruptor. And the tracking disruptor is pretty rare for other people to use. But each of those modules gives you a bonus to something that you need to do. Like if there's a sniper sitting out there that uses turrets, you can use your tracking disruptor for range dampening, and because you're sitting so far out, you won't take any damage from it.
So tell me what a tracking disruptor does for the people who don't know much about EVE. Exactly what does it do specifically?
Guns have an optimal and a fall off, and in the optimal range you're going to get hit almost every time, and in the fall off there's a certain scale of it's complicated math, but basically in fall off there's a chance that you might or might not get hit. Well, the tracking disruptor will actually half or close to half the range of the guns. So since stealth bombers have a bonus to the range of their torpedoes, they can sit really far out, but most sniper ships can shoot that far out unless you dampen them down somehow.
So a tracking disruptor makes it harder for someone to hit you if they're beyond a certain range, but only
right.
If
that's
using,
not all.
Only if they're using turret type ships.
Yeah, right. Only if they're using turret type ships. But there's another aspect to the tracking disruptor in that it's versatile. You can also, through a switch of its ammo type, like we call them scripts for electronic warfare modules, you can change it from cutting their range in half to cutting their tracking speed in half, which allows ships to move faster than the guns can follow them. thus causing more misses, or if they do get hit, it's hit for only slight damage. And this is a great effect if your bomber is supporting a larger number of ships that have to go in close. Sure, you could just protect yourself by putting the range damp, or the range tracking disruption on them, but really, the ships that are in close are probably at a greater danger, because when you're close in EVE Online, there's more weapons and modules that could be used against you, and thus those ships tend to have a higher mortality rate. So you throw these tracking speed disruptions on their targets, and all of a sudden your friends that are real close to the battle holding your target down or, you know, delivering their own kinds of damage, they're a bit more protected.
Okay. So why would you want to fit that instead of fitting a better tank on your ship? Because by doing that, by fitting these tracking disruptors and other types of electronic warfare modules, you're nerfing your ability to withstand incoming damage, and that's something that a lot of people disagree with.
I like to look at it from this perspective. If you increase the tank on your stealth bomber, you protect just yourself. If you increase the e-work capabilities of your bomber, you increase protection on yourself, which I've in recent times found very useful for getting out of sticky situations. And at the same time, it allows you to help other people as well.
Interesting.
I have a slightly different take. I get what Alan's saying, and he's certainly right that electronic warfare can be used to protect yourself. We were flying together when this happened. He ran into a spot of trouble and got pinned down by a very fast ship. Managed to sneak his way out of it through a clever use of the electronic warfare on his ship. But I look at it, the stealth bomber, as you mentioned, Jimmer, it has some amazing abilities, but it does have some drawbacks, and probably the biggest drawback is it's somewhat ungainly, it's slow, and no matter what you do to it, you really can't get it to absorb that much damage.
Well, one of the IRC users just pointed out that bombers really shouldn't be taking damage. Would you agree with that statement?
I would absolutely agree with that. Yeah. I found the best defense as a bomber is defensive flying. Doesn't matter how much tank you have on your ship. If you're in a point where you're taking heavy damage, it's probably going to kill you. Whether it's in two shots or three shots, it's probably not going to matter a whole bunch.
It gets down.
So your best bet is aligning, careful use of your electronic warfare, and knowing when the kitchen's too hot and you need to get out.
Interesting. Go ahead, Alan.
It gets down to the point where if you're taking anything at all is doing damage to you, and it's a moderately sized fleet fight, like more than five people, you should probably leave and come back or find some way to defend yourself with your E-War, even if you have a shield extender. A lot of people, I think, use that shield extender as kind of a crutch so that they can fly a little bit less carefully and still do their jobs.
Okay. Hey, I just want to make sure that I throw out to the people listening and those in IRC, if you've got questions or comments you want to make, go ahead and just type them out. I'm just kind of moderating the discussion, so I'll certainly pass along what I see if it's interesting for the panel to talk about.
An experience happened today, Jeremy.
Yeah, please.
So I was flying my stealth bomber against the carrier. Other ships were tackling it. I was using my sensor dampener to disrupt its ability to target things. In EVE, you need to target something before you can activate any offensive modules on it. I apologize for that. That's my phone. Mm-hmm. So you need to activate modules on it, but you can only do it to a locked target. Carriers are very big ships, and they take a very, very long time to lock smaller ships, and we were all small. So I was disrupting its ability to target. But it managed to get a lock on me, and it threw just a wave of drones at me, which are these automated devices. I guess if you play WoW, they'd be what, familiars?
Pets. Like that. Sort of like pets. That, yeah.
Yeah, so there's just swarms of these things, like little hornets or gnats. And carriers can use a very large number of them, so I think he sent about 11 toward me. And in one shot, my shields were gone, and I was into half armor. But before the second shot of the drones could get off, I was already clicking my warp button because I was properly aligned. I left, I waited a couple seconds so my shields built up, and I warped on back. And I never had a problem for the rest of the fight.
Yeah, just to put it in context, a sensor dampener is something that makes it less effective for your targeting system. So a small ship using a sensor dampener on a large ship makes it take even longer to target. So there's a couple of comments on IRC. Root Kaiser says Eve seems very complicated. And in a sense, it is very complicated. But the nice part about it is that if you focus or specialize in one area, you don't have to know everything. I mean, you got to keep in mind that the people that were, you know, myself, Alec, and Helen, we've been playing this game for years, and we've had an opportunity to both experience and explore a lot of different aspects of the game because we find it very interesting. But you can play Eve very effectively without having to know all the details of all of the systems. You just need to know how to fly your own ship. And part of the purpose of these discussions is so that people can learn more and get better at it. So let's see. The next subject we were going to discuss, actually, before we move on, did either of you guys have any other comments about EWAR versus tank?
Yes, actually.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
There are two different slot layouts to bombers. There's a Purifier and Hound and a Manticore and a Nemesis. And the Manticore and Nemesis have four mid slots. And using those four mid slots, you can conceivably insert what's called a micro warp drive or a speed mod of some kind. And three EWAR or two EWAR and that shield extender that a lot of people want to use. But on the three slot bombers, you only really have a choice of your speed mod and two EWAR. And those can do more DPS, more damage, but they also have limitations on what they can choose between EWAR and tank. And it's very, very, very important that if you put no other EWAR on your ship, on your stealth bomber, that you put a target painter. A target painter is basically a requirement.
Tell us what a target painter does, real quick. We haven't talked about that.
Missiles are complicated. But I'll let Alec handle this.
Basically, there's several classes of missiles. There's like a frigate-sized missile. There's a cruiser-sized missile. There's a battleship-sized missile. One of the advantages of the stealth bomber is that even though it's a frigate-class ship, very tiny, it gets to use the battleship-sized torpedoes. Now, the downside to that is it's only effective against battleship-sized targets. Even though the stealth bomber gets some bonuses to the effectiveness against smaller ships, it's still not enough. So what a target painter does is it essentially tricks your missiles into thinking the target's bigger than it is. And they do more damage. So you could think of it like a remote guidance system. You're pointing a little laser beam at the target to guide your missiles in, so their hits are more effective.
Yeah. I mean, missiles in the game, imagine if you're using a large missile against a small target. It's like trying to kill flies with a sledgehammer. It's not terribly effective, but if the flies all of a sudden became the size of small dogs, which is what a target painter does. I mean, if I can be allowed to torture the metaphor that badly, that's kind of what a target painter will do for large ship weapons like torpedoes fired from a stealth bomber. So it sounds like the consensus is that EWAR is the better tank and that the best tank you can have is the tank that doesn't get shot at. Would that be a fair assessment?
You can never count on not getting shot.
Right.
That's a grave misnomer, and a lot of beginner bomber pilots die that way. Helen and I have both been flying bombers for a long time, and we know that this is not true. You can count on getting shot at some point. You can count on some fast ship trying to close range and run you down. You need to be constantly aware of your situation and always have an escape route in your head ready to go at a split-second notice. That's your best defense.
Fair enough.
Or you also need to know that there are certain ships in the game that tend to be set up to shoot at long range, and even if you're sitting out at whatever range you are, it doesn't matter if a fast ship comes down on you. There are numerous ships in the game that can shoot you down with one volley. You'll go from full shields, not even being targeted, to red boxed and dead at the same time. So yeah, you can die in a stealth bomber just as easily as any other ship. The trick is knowing when that's coming and trying to avoid it.
Yep. Okay, so then I think we'll move on to the next segment. We've got a couple of things we wanted to talk about tactics, and there's two topics here. And the first one is bomb launchers or torp launchers. Essentially, it plays into whether or not you're going to fly a stealth bomber in the role of a bomber, or if you're going to fly it as a torpedo platform. So what do you guys think about that?
It seriously depends on who owns the space you're fighting in. And how much resupply you have. If it's your area that you're defending, or you have a well set up logistics program where lots of bombs can be brought in and you can dock and whatever, then bomb launchers have a place, because together with numerous other people, a bomb launcher squad of bombers can take out some very large ships very, very quickly with almost no defense against it. But alone, or in a limited sense, or when you're not able to resupply those bombs, which are huge and you can't fit many, it comes down to using your stealth bomber in a way that's sustainable. And to me, that's using mostly torpedoes and that's it.
Yeah, there's the other challenge, of course, where you can't use bombs anywhere except in zero-zero space, which means that in low sec and, right. and high sec, they're out of the question. Alec, what's your opinion on it?
Well, I learned to fly a stealth bomber back before the recent changes, before bomb launchers were created, before they had torpedo weapons and they had long-distance cruise missiles. And so when I was training to get good in a bomber, and I do sort of consider that I came into my own as a bomber pilot before the patch, that I was really not used to depending on the bomb. It was a neat little toy, sort of a tricky gimmick, and I resisted training for it for a long time. Recently, I got my skills up for it. I'm starting to play with it a little more now. And from what I can see, one bomber, even two bombers launching bombs at the same time in a coordinated fashion really doesn't get the job done unless your opponents make a serious error. You need several at the same time. So I think if your stealth bomber is going out as part of a scheduled thing, like, okay, man, 9 o'clock, these guys, they're going to be coming, they're going to be hitting our station, they're going to be in these types of ships, we know this ahead of time. Let's get these bombers together, let's get them with the right damage, get them with the proper bookmarks, get them set up, and then you launch like 6, 7, 8 of the things on somebody and just wipe out a fleet.
Yeah,
I think that's the role of bombs. If you want to do more of a guerrilla warfare, not really have a fixed time, you just want to be able to log in and join up with your friends, and sort of like what NAR does, we have gangs going all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't really have set ops so much. You just kind of log in and hook up with whatever's going on.
Right.
In that case, I find my bomb launcher goes unused, okay. And I'd probably rather have more torpedo damage.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that the consensus taken away from this would be, if you don't have a good reason to fit bombs, then probably go with torps for DPS, especially because a good portion of the pilots who are going to fly it aren't going to be flying it in nullsec anyway, and that bombs are good, but you need to kind of like have a tactical requirement for them. Would you guys agree with that?
Well, it's not an either-or choice either. It's not a choice of, can I use bombs or am I going to use torpedoes? You're always going to have torpedoes. You're always going to have a bomber be torpedo capable. It's never not going to be. If you've done that to your bomber, you've screwed up somehow.
Okay.
The problem is removing other stuff. Some of your DPS may be in your low slots with a ballistic control, which increases the damage of your torpedoes, or taking stuff out of your mids, etc., or downgrading your torpedo launchers so that you can fit in that bomb launcher.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Yeah. Okay.
You're always going to have...
It's definitely the BCU and the downgraded torpedoes. That's what it really comes to. Because you'll always be able to fit the worst grade torpedo launcher even if you go with a bomb, but you're not going to be putting out a great amount of damage. But meanwhile, if you strip the bomb launcher off, you fit another ballistic control, maybe depending on which of the stealth bomber types you can fly, you can fit Tech 2 torpedoes, which can carry advanced munitions, do more damage, or have more range. Then you're faced with a stiff choice, because that's a lot of damage.
Yeah.
You're talking about going from like 350-ish without to maybe 600-700 with. That's almost double.
So you can double your DPS by sacrificing the bomb launcher, but then you, of course, sacrifice the ability to launch bombs.
Right, so,
yeah.
I mean, you'll still have that certain amount of DPS, but clearly if you could double that, especially when you're talking about such a large absolute number to begin with,
right.
That's pretty formidable.
Okay, cool. So one other thing we wanted to talk about with fitting modules was speed modules. We've mentioned speed mods a few times before, and just for just so everybody is aware, if you're not familiar with the game, a speed mod just refers to one of two types of modules, an afterburner or a microwarp drive. An afterburner increases your speed by, I think, 50% or something like that, and a microwarp drive can increase your speed by up to 5 times. Now, they come with pros and cons. The microwarp drive goes a lot faster, but it uses a lot more energy, and it also makes you much easier to hit, because essentially it's broadcasting this beacon that says, hey, there's a whole bunch of energy being used here, and it allows things to hit you much more easily. So having said that, what do you guys think? Is it better to fit your stealth bombers with afterburners or microwarp drives? Because I know this discussion comes up a lot.
I will never use an afterburner on my bombers anymore. The thing is that while using
sounds like using there was a lesson that got learned there at one point.
Yeah, a couple of times. There's a with the way we fly, you know, it's move from here to here, get to this gate, do that. You know, you land on a gate in 00 where a lot of stealth bombers are being used, and say there's a gate camp there. Do you really want to have just an afterburner, or do you want to have that micro warp drive that lets you get back to the gate or out of the bubble? And that's your options. An afterburner is not going to do that for you. You're going to have to wait. It's going to cycle off, and you're going to slowly make your way through. Okay. For the micro warp drive, one pulse, you're back through the gate. Or one pulse, you're probably outside of the bubble. Not just that, but when you're racing from one place to another, a lot of times you're going to land at the gate maybe at your optimal when everyone else is getting ready to jump through, because maybe you made a mistake, the FC made a mistake, fleet commander. And so you're going to want to burn down to the gate, and that's another thing. You never use your afterburner. Well, you never use your speed mod while you're in the middle of combat. So the afterburner, which I'm assuming if you had an afterburner, you would. But with a micro warp drive, you don't, because it drains your cap way too quickly.
Right.
I think Alec wants to say something.
Well, yeah, Alec always wants to say something. You just can't shut that son of a bitch up.
Hey, I'm the boss. I get to talk.
Go ahead.
My experience is different than Helen's in that I use my micro warp drive all the time when I'm fighting, because range management is so critical to me. And I, like, sometimes I'll ride right on the edge of my effective range with the torpedoes and my maximum range, and sometimes I'll need to reposition very quickly and I fire up the micro warp drive right there, or maybe I land too close to something but I don't want to warp out because it's not really that close. Mm-hmm. A micro warp drive away from it, and maybe I go too far, micro warp drive back, or maybe there's a new ship that warps out, micro warp drive to the other side so I get away from the thing. I'm using the thing all the time.
Okay.
Well, I pulse mine a cloak. That's my main way of doing things, because you get no speed decrease from a Cove Ops cloak. So if I land in the middle of a group of people, or I just want to get away, I'll pulse the micro warp drive. I'll hit it once, and then I'll cloak, which turns it back off once it's gone through a whole cycle. But once I've settled down, I think because of the way I fit my bombers in comparison to the other bombers that tend to be in a fleet, I'm usually the last person they go for because I'm sitting about 20 kilometers further out than the rest of the bombers. So it may be why I don't need to manage my range as much, because when I'm with other people, no one ever goes for me.
Right. Okay, well, it sounds like micro warp drive is the way to go unless you have a very, very good reason for going with an afterburner.
Well, and the reason is this. If you tank your stealth bomber instead of going with electronic warfare, and you have a good set of logistics pilots that fly scimitars or basilisks, then the afterburner really comes in there, because while you're not an assault frigate, you can get pretty respectable speeds with still a fairly small signature radius, and the combination of those two things means it's very hard for damage to find you in certain situations. And if you're backed up by a logistics pilot who can give you shields or give you armor very quickly, because your resists will be good, which means your shields will be able to point for point take a lot of damage, you just won't have a lot of shields to begin with. If he's on top of his game and he can keep you up, and once he notices that you're taking damage, you can have a very stable, high DPS set of very fast-moving, very sneaky ships. And that's an appealing thing sometimes.
Sure. That sounds like a very attractive scenario to most FCs that I know of.
It's really rough, though, because your logistics pods need to be absolutely elite to pull it off.
Right.
And what I like to point out is that an afterburning stealth bomber is going to be slower than probably even a micro warp driving battleship. So even if you can stay under his guns as long as he's just sitting still, if he decides he wants to leave and heads off in a direction, he's going to leave you in the dust, and he's going to have a nice line on you with zero transversal, which is something that affects your guns, and you're going to pop very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He can basically kite you to death if that happens.
Well,
Well, ideally you would not be by yourself with a stealth bomber. The stealth bomber is not a soloing ship, although some daring pilots try to use it that way. You should have someone who's disrupting that guy's engines for you, because your ship is for damage, either from bombs or from torpedoes. That's the primary role of the stealth bomber. Damage with a secondary function, my opinion, of very cheap, low-grade electronic warfare that can be distributed through a large number of ships.
Cool. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and move on, unless you guys have any other pressing comments there, because I want to make sure that we keep moving and get in under the timer.
Yeah, I don't think there's much else, but it is important to remember there's a lot more to stealth bombers than what we've covered here.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
As much as we can cover.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we could go on for hours and hours and hours, and I think we have on Vent in the past. So, you know, this is just to give people, like, a taste, you know, give people the basics so that they can finish the research on their own, if that makes sense. So there are four stealth bombers in the game. There is, you know, one for each of the major factions. There's I'm just going to go down them, and I'm just going to get a quick opinion, like one sentence from you guys each. So the Galente Nemesis, Hallen, what do you think of it?
It's the crappiest stealth bomber by far. It benefits from having a slot layout I like, but fitting is terrible. You have to downgrade the torp launchers in order to get things to work properly. Okay. I don't like it.
Alec?
It was my first stealth bomber, but it's a labor of love. If I had trained Kaldari, I would not have thought twice about the Nemesis, because it's the slowest, it has the tightest fitting. So you have to downgrade the torpedo launchers or do something else really crazy with it in order to get the high-grade ones on.
Okay.
I love the ship in spite of it. I think it looks cool. It's probably the coolest looking of all the bombers, but it is the worst performing.
Okay. Minmatar Hound, Hallen, real quick, what do you think of it?
Second worst performing bomber, so it looks like we're going down the list that way. It's nice because it's fast. That's the only thing it has going for it. It actually has, for my taste, way too low of a targeting range, because I sit at about 75 with my torps.
Okay.
Other than that, it can get some good DPS and its explosive damage, which in some cases is useful. But other than that, I don't like it at all.
Okay. Alec, what do you think?
I like the Hound a lot, actually. I think that you have to utilize its high speed to be able to be in close, because you can manage your range better. And guns will have a harder time tracking you. And because you're in close, why not take advantage and use the high-yield torpedoes, which give you a massive damage boost over the long-range ones that Hallen's favors.
Okay. Let's see. The next one is the Amar Purifier. Hallen, what do you think?
Again, I'd say that one is third on the list, or second on the list. It's a really good stealth bomber. It's not as good as the Manticore, in my opinion, because I don't like the slot layout, but it's pretty easy to fit, and it's got good DPS, and it's EM damage, which in a lot of cases are very useful, especially against, say, a Falcon or anything like that.
Yeah.
That's trying to shield tank. I mean, Purifier fitted out properly can two or three shot a Falcon pretty easily, and I've done it before, so.
Okay. Alec, the Purifier, what do you think?
EM damage is great damage to deal, and the Purifier, it's a toss-up between it and the Hound as to which is the best three mid-slot bomber, but I'd have to say, if you want raw damage output, the Purifier is probably the best way to go. If you want to go a little speedier, then go with the Hound, but if you just want to just absolutely level somebody, take out a Falcon in two or three shots, or whatever it is, you've got to go with a Purifier, and it works great with a small mid-slot tank, like a shield extender or something, to go with its target painter. Or if you can get someone else to target paint for you, it's even better. You put more tank in your mid-slots, and you just have something tough that hits really hard.
Okay. And last but not least, the Kaldari Manticore. Hallen, what do you think?
Well, it's a missile boat made by missile-creating people. The Manticore is probably, in my mind, the perfect stealth bomber. It's very, very easy to fit, almost to the point of being unbalanced to the other three stealth bombers. And it has a slot layout with four mid-slots, which allow me to fit a speed mod and three E-War. It's the stealth bomber of choice for myself because I can fly it, and I'm, like, I think Alec said earlier, if he could fly it, he wouldn't fly the Nemesis.
Okay. Alec, what do you think of the Manticore?
I don't want to train for it because I would feel like it's just sort of playing into this overpowered Kaldari thing. And also, I think that they really missed an opportunity with the Hello Kitty skin that somebody made a model of. CCP should have taken care of that right away and made it pink with polka dots and a little Hello Kitty face.
I saw
but
that.
Halen is right, is that it's probably the best stealth armor you can buy. I don't know that I would put 2 weeks training in just for it, since I can already fly a purifier. But it's a tough one because it really is head and shoulders above the Nemesis, and it has 4 slots.
Yeah, well, sounds like we have reached consensus. Now, I want to thank both Halen and Alec for coming on here and giving us the benefit of their expertise. And I hope that people have enjoyed this segment, because if it is popular enough, I certainly plan to bring it back. So you might be hearing some of these people again on other topics, as well as anybody else I can maybe rope into getting on here, hopping onto Skype and coming to talk. So, Halen and Alec, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for coming by.
That was great. And I just want to throw out there, I don't know about Halen, but if anyone wants to talk more about stealth bombers after the show, or can send me an email at my character name. I'm pretty easy to find. I'm the CEO of Noir.
Yep. So. Noir with a period at the end. N-O-I-R,
yep.
Period.
Noir dot.
Noir dot.
Yep. I'm always looking for ways to increase my exposure as a blogger. So, yeah, come talk to me.
That's right.
I'll probably have a blog post up about this. If you want to find my blog, look up A Merry Life in a Short One on Google. I'll be the first hit you find.
Yep. And it's a very good blog. And I say that as a blogger myself. Halen Tarik's blog is definitely worth checking out if you play Eve and are interested in that. So thank you very much, gentlemen. I really appreciate your time and energy here, and I hope to see you again here on Split Infinity Radio. Okay, so thanks a lot, everybody, for listening, and I hope that this was an informative segment for you. We're going to go ahead and move back on to some music, because I think that we've talked enough for one night, or at least for this hour, and we are going to move on. We're going to start off with some Pet Shop Boys, and I don't know what's going to happen after that, but I am sure it will be entertaining, so stick around here on Split Infinity. I am your host, DJ Cyclomath, for the next hour and a half. We're going to get loud, and we're going to get mental.